How does a democracy move from disruption to renewal? That's a fit question just about everywhere. One common denominator in elections around the world in recent years is anti-incumbency. Britain is about to have its seventh prime minister in the decade since Brexit, following Keir Starmer's resignation on Monday. He lasted less than 2 years. As Mark Sappenfield reports today, trustworthiness begets stability. Until politicians start being honest with the public, a political observer in Nottingham tells him, things will keep going as they are. It's Tuesday, June 23rd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. China announced sanctions on U.S. military-related firms. Beijing on Monday announced sanctions on 10 American companies involved with drones, aerospace, and rare earths, blocking Chinese firms from exporting dual-use equipment to them. The action is partly in retaliation for the Pentagon's recent prohibition on defense contracts for major Chinese tech companies that it says have ties to China's military. China also said its government agencies would be barred from buying goods from 46 U.S. firms, including Raytheon Missiles and Defense and Lockheed Martin. National security concerns are leading to an increased technological decoupling of superpowers. Mexico said it will restart oil shipments to Cuba. Only one international oil shipment has reached Cuba since January, when President Donald Trump threatened to impose tariffs on those sending oil to the island. Cuba's energy crisis has meant island-wide blackouts. Mexico has played a historically important role in U.S.-Cuba relations, often acting as an unofficial intermediary for the United States and the communist-led country it has tried to isolate. The plan announced by Mexico's President Claudia Sheinbaum Pardo aims to take advantage of Cuba's recent announcement of free market reforms, relying on private companies with permits to transport oil to Cuba instead of sending it through the state. Also, a judge blocked Justice Department subpoenas of Minnesota officials. In a ruling about six subpoenas issued to Minnesota officials, including Governor Tim Walz, U.S. District Judge Patrick Schultz ruled that it was an attempt to coerce them into assisting the federal government with enforcing civil immigration laws and to harass and retaliate against them for failing to do so. Judge Schultz, a George W. Bush appointee and a conservative, previously criticized the Department of Homeland Security for violating 96 court orders related to the rights of immigrants in Minnesota during Operation Metro Surge in January. That month, a spokesperson for the Homeland Security Department called Mr. Schultz an activist judge. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Could the Trump-Vance administration reach détente with Iran? That would run against the views that President Trump himself espoused in going to war, but the administration is eager for a peace deal and voices optimism about the talks. Simon Montlake reports for The Monitor. Keir Starmer's departure from office has long been expected. Will Andy Burnham, his heir apparent, be able to learn from Mr. Starmer's mistakes? And those of the carousel of prime ministers passing through number 10 over the past decade. Mark Sappenfield reports from Berlin for The Monitor. Voters who wanted out of the European Union were motivated by issues such as sovereignty and immigration. But today, the United Kingdom doesn't feel freer, and immigration is still a hot-button topic. Why does Britain seem stuck in a rut? Mark Sappenfield reports from Kingston upon Hull, England, for The Monitor. Throughout the years, the three sections of the Farm Bill have helped build a big enough coalition of legislators to get the sweeping, expensive legislation passed. But this big tent approach hasn't been enough to supersede the increased partisanship in Washington. Story Hinckley reports for the Monitor. Some trainees at Kurtz Cafe, a nonprofit in Evanston, Illinois, are trying to leave gangs. Many have arrest records or are experiencing hardships, which can make it difficult to find employment. The cafe offers services that address the trainees' basic needs so that they can flourish on the job. Stephanie Cook Broadhurst reports from Evanston, Illinois, for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on how Colombians want security with rule of law. This month has seen two tightly contested runoff elections in South America. The results from Peru's poll, held more than 2 weeks ago, are still not official, but indicate a razor-thin margin of 35,000 to 40,000 votes for the conservative candidate. The count of Sunday's vote in Colombia has been much quicker, showing a win for the right-wing political outsider Abelardo de la Esperella by a 1% margin over his rival. In the wake of highly polarizing campaign rhetoric, some observers might see the results as a confirmation of a deep, irreconcilable divide within the electorate. But viewed through a different lens, the results point to a virtually equal desire among citizens for safety and rule of law, as well as policies that offer pathways out of poverty and high economic inequality. Both domestically and regionally, recent years have seen a growth in drug trafficking and organized crime, linked to transnational networks and flows of financing and armaments. In this context, election rhetoric promising a militarized approach to establishing public security has resonance in countries from El Salvador to Ecuador to Chile. However, as Luis Carlos Villegas, a former Colombian government official and ambassador, has pointed out, security cannot be restored by giving an order. It requires time and knowledge, as well as international cooperation, which in turn derives from a political context that must be rebuilt, he wrote for the Atlantic Council recently. And he noted it cannot be divorced from social or economic issues that are also highly urgent, complex, and costly. That seems to be a lesson being learned by other leaders, such as Chile's right-wing president, José Antonio Kast, who took office in 2025. His actions have been much more measured than his campaign messages of a large-scale security crackdown, including mass arrests and deportations of unauthorized immigrants. Governing means taking responsibility for reality, especially when it's difficult, Mr. Kast said in a public address earlier this month. I'm proceeding step by step because this isn't something that happens overnight. As Mr. De La Esperella himself acknowledged to America's Quarterly earlier this year, it is not a matter of labels like left or right, but what common sense dictates. Colombians are likely to appreciate both common sense and a willingness to rebuild trust in their national institutions, as one analyst told Monitor contributor Manuel Rueda a few days ago, there's a lot of mistrust in the political establishment. Colombia is not alone in this trend, observed Juan Manuel Santos, the country's former president who negotiated an accord with a long-running rebel insurgency in 2016. Increasingly, in political campaigns around the world, moderation is squeezed and democratic politics becomes less about solving problems than defeating enemies, he wrote in The Economist last week. Ultimately, he noted, the new president, whose party has a minority in Congress, will be obligated to forge agreements and consensus. Agreements require trust, Mr. Santos observed, and history will remember a leader who has the courage, humility, and greatness to rebuild such trust. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we deepen our understanding of spiritual reality, we find comfort and safety, even when we're facing serious threats. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Noel Flatt, and Donald Keough.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.